Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, Chapter 15, The Lord Accepts Prasadam at the House of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Okay. Following the orders of Maharaj Prataparudra, the temple superintendent, named Tulasi, brought one of Lord Jagannath's used cloths. This valuable cloth was wrapped around the head of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The other devotees, headed by Advaitacharya, also had cloths wrapped around their heads. In ecstasy, Kanai Kutia, who was dressed as Nanda Maharaj, and Jagannath Mahiti, who was dressed as Mother Jashoda, distributed all the riches they had stocked at home. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was greatly satisfied to see this. Accepting them as his mother and father, he offered them obeisances. In great ecstasy, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu returned to his residence. In this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, known as Gauranga Sundara, performed various pastimes. On the day celebrating the conquest of Lanka, a day known as Vijay Dasami, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dressed up all his devotees as monkey soldiers. Displaying the emotions of Hanuman, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took up a large tree branch and, mounting the walls of the Lanka fort, began to dismantle it. In the ecstasy of Hanuman, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu angrily said, "Where is that rascal Ravana? He has kidnapped the universal mother, Sita. Now I shall kill him and all his family." Everyone became very astonished to see the emotional ecstasy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and everyone began to chant, all glories, again and again. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees participated in all the festivals, including Rasa Yatra, Deepavali, and Uttana Dwadasi. Srila Prabhupada, the Deepavali festival takes place on the dark moon night in the month of Kartik. So that'll be right in the middle, right? Because it means the Vrata will start on the full moon at the beginning, you know, because you end the Vrata on the full moon. But actually, the month starts the day after the full moon. So then the next Amavasya, that will be Deepavali. The Rasa Yatra, or Rasa dancing, of Krishna takes place on the full moon night of the same month, so the last day of Kartik, the full moon. Uttana Dwadasi takes place the day after Ekadasi, on the waxing fortnight of the moon of the same month. So after the Deepavali, then, you know, it'll go into the waxing moon. And so then you'll have Ekadasi, then the next day after that, that Dwadasi, just before the Purnima. So that will be the Dwadasi after the Lord gets up. Verses 37 to 182.
The devotees from Bengal, they came for Chaturmasya.
Yes. So that means it goes all the way through. Because in Chaturmasya, generally people don't move around.
Yes.
Because of the rains, the roads won't be good, and you know everything like that. And it's not a traveling time, so if you go out anyway, there'll be nothing going on. You know, so. So then they come down. We saw this, they came for Akshay Tritiya, which is just before the rains start, and then after that, then Rath Yatra, and then we have, you know, then the Janmashtami, Nandotsava, we have that festival, and now he mentions Vijay, Dasa Vijay, and that, I think that's before the Deepavali, because Deepavali is when Ram comes back to Ayodhya, and then the Vijay Dasami is the day that he defeated Ravana, like that. And so then there'll be some gap in between. Verses 37 to 182. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives specific instructions to his devotees. 215, 37 to 41. One day, the two brothers, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu, consulted with each other while sitting in a solitary place. No one could understand what the brothers discussed between themselves. But later, all the devotees could guess what the subject matter was. Thereafter, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu called for all the devotees and asked them to return to Bengal. In this way, he bade them farewell. Mm-hmm. Bidding farewell to all the devotees, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu requested them to return to Jagannath Puri every year to see him, and then see the cleansing of the Gundicha temple. With great respect, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu requested Advaitacharya, give Krishna consciousness, devotion to Krishna, even to the lowest of men, chandalas. Because the aspect of, you know, we know of chandalas as the you know, that as the dog eaters in that, but it's more of a, it's specifically a mentality, whether they're eating dogs or not, because they're very, very materialistic, very intelligent, very materialistic. Because then chandala is, then you have the aspect where you have a cross between a Brahmin mother and a Shudra father. Right? Nishada will be the other way around. Brahmin father, Shudra mother. And so the point is they'll have that spirit of a Shudra, but they'll have the nature and brain of a Brahmin. So they can make, they make the most trouble. Right? So of the misfits and all that, then they'll be very dangerous, because they're very intelligent, and will identify kind of in that way. At the same time, is the actual drive will be that of a shooter. So they'll use their intelligence for low class things or materialistic things, you could say. You know, the senses and things like that. So that becomes. So that will be the aspect here. So it's not that, oh, well, no one's eating dogs. No, this is the mentality. Right? Srila Prabhupada, this is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's orders to all his devotees. Krishna bhakti, devotion to Krishna, is open to everyone, even low-class men like chandalas. One should follow this order in the disciplic succession stemming from Sri Advaita and Nityananda Prabhu and distribute Krishna consciousness without discrimination throughout the world. There are different kinds of men, beginning with the Brahmin and going down to the lowest platform known as chandala. Right? Because chandala will be a pratiloma. Right? It'll be against the grain. Because anuloma is already going down. But pratiloma then gets worse. Right? So, yeah. Whatever one's position, everyone in this age of Kali needs to be enlightened in Krishna consciousness. That is the greatest need of the day. Everyone is acutely feeling the pangs of material existence. Even in the ranks and files of the American Senate, the pinpricks of material existence are felt, so much so that on April 30th, 1974, was actually set aside as prayer day. Mm-hmm. Right? The people should pray. You know, and this was 74. Right? I'm not sure, I haven't heard if it's being maintained as prayer day. Thus, everyone is feeling the resultant pinpricks of Kali Yuga brought about by human societies indulging in illicit sex, meat-eating, gambling, and intoxication. Now is the time for the members of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness to distribute Krishna Bhakti all over the world and thus follow the orders of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The Lord has ordered everyone to become a guru. Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila 7.128 Amar Agyai Guru Hoy Tara E Desh. Everyone in every town and village should be enlightened in the instructions of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Right? Subtle hint, but did we catch that there? Said instructions. Yeah. Krishna consciousness should be distributed to everyone indiscriminately. In this way, the entire world will be peaceful and happy, and everyone will glorify Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as he desires. Right? So the idea is everybody should try to, you know, help others, or influence others to appreciate Lord Chaitanya and his mission. You know, take up the chanting and that. The word chandala actually refers to a dog eater, who is considered the lowest men. Even chandalas can be enlightened in Krishna consciousness due to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's benedictions. Krishna bhakti is not the monopoly of a certain caste. Everyone is eligible to receive this great benediction given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Everyone should be given a chance to receive it and be happy. That's the point, is that the nature of the soul is Krishna consciousness. So every soul has the right to take up devotional service. Other activities within Varnashram you take up according to what conditioned nature you have. But the conditioned nature has nothing to do with whether you're qualified for Krishna bhakti.
So that includes whether people are aware of it or not. Everyone
aware of.
To distribute Krishna Bhakti, whether people are aware that they are receiving it or they're not aware, they should be.
Yes, engaged. It's like that. It's always there. And it means if they can know, it's even better. But at least if nothing else, then it's there. Just like you're doing Hari Nam, people may not know, but they're getting benefit. And then if you can contact them, you know, give them a book or prasad or something like that, or discuss, then it takes it even more. So you're doing both. You're giving the direct aspects of preaching, and you have then the aspects of Agyata Sukriti. Because the point is that Agyata Sukriti builds up, then that with time, by the association of devotees, will become faith. Like that. Yes?
Sometimes we see that following this particular instruction of Mahaprabhu, we preach, and then a lot of low-class people join. And then it creates difficulty in society, because on a transcendental level, they chant and they pray and they worship, but then their dealing remain low class,
mm-hmm.
you know, in terms of culture.
Right.
So how can we reconcile?
The basic thing is going to be association and training, because you know you discuss on those things. You know, what is culture, how to behave, what's expected, why devotees do the different things they do, and everything like that. So if one hears that with time, you know, through the chanting process and by association, one will take a value in these things. And one will try to do. It doesn't mean one will be successful immediately, but the point is if one's trying, then that's a benefit. So someone is trying to behave properly and then may not, it won't be as bad as if they don't know and they just behave badly and think that it's all right. You know, so it's just a matter of time by chanting the holy name, you know, by hearing and chanting about Krishna and the association of devotees, rendering service, the heart becomes purified and all the good qualities will come up. But the general tendency is like, we're talking about community, but where's the training for community? So that's the difficulty, you know. So, you know, it's the natural thing to spread out because everyone's not going to stay in the temple. So then that there must be training that accommodates everybody and shows them what is human life, how to engage in it, what's the standards, and address those things. So that's the point is either you give religion and follow religion, or people will make up their own religion. It's that simple. Is that the conditioned soul has to function within the context of religion. There must be some regulation, there must be some standard of what's right and wrong. And so you either follow tradition, or you make up your own. Right? So like that, and then the problem is if you make up your own, then you think, no, but we'll make up our own and be fabulous. But then now you're dealing with the modes of nature. If you deal with the spiritual, you're dealing with one mentality. But if you deal with the material, then how many mentalities are you dealing with? So then the problem will come is that the what's right and wrong amongst each individual will be very different. And so then you cannot have community. So unless there's discussion about pure devotional service and why we do what we do, it'll be very, very hard to establish community and have it come up, because we say low class, but it's kind of like you have sophisticated low class also. Because nowadays it's kind of more about sophisticated and not, because as Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains, is that you have the, you know, within human life, you have the uncivilized immoral, you know, immoralist. But then you have the civilized immoralist. You know? You know, like that that person who's, you know, very expert at, you know, dressing and eating and, you know, chatting up, you know, the girls and doing all these things. He's very sophisticated. But he's an immoralist. It's only about his senses and all that. But he fancies himself very sophisticated and very elevated. You know? So sometimes that won't be caught. Then you're going to have, after that, then you're going to have the civilized moralist. But then the problem comes there is that morality will be localized. You know, people talk about this universal material morality, but unless it's coming from the Vedas, it's different. What they say is morality in America will not be morality in Europe, and it will not be morality in Asia. You know, and then that's just taking a very general, but then within America, you know, the North, the South, the West, you know, be very different. And as you go in Europe, it'll also have a similar kind of thing. Then you go within the country, they're going to say one thing in the country, they're going to say one other things in the cities, and then between cities. So this idea that you can establish on the material platform a morality that will be universal is not possible. The only difference between now and previously is that the communications, you can do some immediate communication. But as far as people living in an area, liking particular foods, dressing in particular ways, that still remains. You know? And so you can kind of make it down a little bit, but then at some point there's going to be a problem. The more you go, no, it's all the same, and they let everybody, then it turns out a thing, and then everybody goes against it so strongly. You know? So it's just how politics works, as we mentioned. It's a pendulum swing between right, left, right, left. It just, you know, that's the way it works. So that's an impossibility. You can try to, but it won't work. So then only if there's... Because why? Because it's atheistic. We say civilized moralist, but we didn't say they're theistic. Because it has nothing to do with God. It's just about the locale we say this is correct. You know, like that. You know, so that's going to be the difficulty. Then you're going to go into then the next level you go into will be the theistic moralist, you know, who talks about God and all that. But of those, then you have basically two groups. Those that aren't actually that theistic, they don't really believe in God so much. It's just, you know, that there's someone there, there's an authority, it helps make the social things go nicely. It creates more of a commonality. It makes the society run better. And then those who have more of an appreciation of God, like that. But until there, then it's a matter of how do you follow God's laws? And even then, even you have that, then there's going to be the differences between religious groups. You know, they have their particular faith and all that, and unfortunately, because it's materialistic, then they're right, everybody else is wrong, right? You know, then you go to the next level, where then they have an understanding of the soul and spirit and all that, but then God becomes impersonal. And so then that becomes fairly useless. You know, detachment from the world and all that, and gaining knowledge, from that side it's good, but from actually advancing in God consciousness, not very useful. So only on the devotional platform, you know, on the fifth platform, then you actually have an actual basis, because all souls are by nature servants of the Lord. So there, that's the only place where you can have the equality. But it doesn't mean that the conditioned nature is not engaged according to its nature. But there you have, now you can actually have community where you have common values. Like that. And so then if you want to say, no, but there's so much variety. No, that's just a matter of how much they actually, how you say, either have faith or are willing to regulate their life according to the instructions of the acharyas, you know, like that. So it's going to be actually more an element of faith or understanding, and how much they are willing to accept, you know, religion as coming down, you know, given by the Lord and his devotees, you know, that's not on a material platform. And so then it's more of a matter of then you will have the culture, those that don't understand how that fits in, because for most that, you know, are very vocal, then their religious background, there is no standards. It means zero. I mean, I think the only one in Christianity is you can't eat people. You know, it's just like when you look in the book on animals, you know, and it tells each animal what they do, where they live, day, night, what they eat. So some animals you come across and say, what's their diet? And it says diet. And it says Catholic. Catholic means all accommodating. It means they eat anything.
They actually write like that?
Yeah, I've seen. I don't know now if they do, but I saw a book like that before, I think back in the 80s or something. It was a book on it's their diet is rather Catholic. Now they call omnivorous, means they just eat anything. Because you have herbivores and carnivores and insectivores and all these different things. But there's this one, they'll eat anything.
If it's Chinese.
Sorry?
It's the Chinese.
Yes.
Anything that walks except humans, anything that flies except airplanes, anything that swims except boats.
Really?
Yes, yes.
I heard it slightly different. I heard anything on the land except a car. Because I heard if you go up north to some of those places, if you go to a hotel, you want to take your own chopsticks and you don't want to eat the white meat. Because they say it's the people that didn't bring their own chopsticks last time. When they died, then they get served to the next group. So I heard it was, on the land cars and the airplanes and in the water boats. So, in other words, if anything else is fair game. So that's the thing. So they don't even have that restriction. They may say, but that's the thing, is that there is nothing. So people are used to it. Why am I being restricted? But that's the point that creates community. Community means you have similar values. So you go to somebody's house for dinner, it's going to be a meal that you can relate to. You go out to a program together, you're going to be dressed in a similar way. The programs you want to go out to are similar. How you're going to deal with everybody, between the family members, between the communities, how you're going to deal with your money. So there's commonality. So then you can relax. Because you can't call it community where you go over to the house and anything you do, someone's going to be freaking out about. That's not community. So there has to be something common. So what's that common? It can't be local. It has to be transcendental. That's the only thing that's universal. And then you apply it in its strictness or broadness. You start from the principle, and that's the first thing you apply, and that can be applied everywhere. And then some details that by tradition you can apply, and if not, then those are left, but the principle remains. So then you have something common. You go to any devotee's place. It's a codicil, there's going to be no grains or beans. Mm. And so then, you can be happy. Like that. Does that make sense? Because that's the universal point. And so then Srila Prabhupada and the Acharyas have given those things, and then you can expand. That's how you get community, by having that. But there must be training. Without training, then people won't know. So they'll be advancing in Krishna consciousness. And yes, the qualities will develop, but it's always good to know the medium through which to express those qualities. Because you can say, but it should just happen naturally or spontaneously. But in the spiritual world, that's not how it works. That's what Gokul is all about. Gokul is the training. You go there and get trained. How do devotees serve? How do the pure devotees serve Krishna? And you learn that. And so then through that and that association, then you come to prema. And Prabhupada says, we're an educational institution. That's it. We're not a political institution. We're not a corporation. We're not an NGO. So many things. We're not. But our business is education. So that's then how it comes up. At the same time, as you see, is just a general thing, is that if you have somebody who, you have some system where it's working together nicely and the people are there, anybody who did come from that kind of background and now is cultured, then they will find it the easiest to take those who come from more uncultured background and help them get to the cultured position. You know, it's just natural. Like you see, let's say a kid who's never done anything wrong, this and that, he can't deal with kids that are crazy. But you take a kid who was crazy, and now he's very nice and regulated. And, you know, when all the new kids come and they're crazy, you give those kids to this devotee. They're never crazy. They're always peaceful and this and that, and it's very far out. Yeah. And so then, that's the thing. We, you know, when we mean like uncultured kind of crazy, not little kids talking too much and, you know, not eating lunch and spilling everything all over the lap. We're not talking about that kind of. Does that make sense? So it's a matter of training. You know, it's kind of like, you know, we just preach and make devotees. And so then these devotees that you've made devotees, what are they supposed to do? Preach and make more devotees. It's like, where is the Vaishnav Seva come in? Where does association come in? That's not many times you see is it's not appreciated that's, you know, the only association is discussing how to get other people make devotees. No. It's amongst themselves as individuals, as people. I always would. It was a very common comment when, you know, Shiva Maharaj would have those big festivals in Hungary, you know, like that, or Govinda Maharaj would have, or like this, because they would be very comfortable in having many, many god brothers and senior Vaishnavas come to the programs. And those different devotees, how they would interact with each other. Oh, the junior devotees were always amazed because they've never seen that kind of interaction. But that's just regular Vaishnava interaction. So unless it's seen, unless it's cultivated, it won't be known. You know, you just fight over who's in charge and how's the plan going down, and you know who made how much money and who's going to decide how it's spent. You know, you can do that stuff. But that's your service. But then what about the association? You know, so those kind of things have to be cultivated. And so you see people who have that appreciation of culture, they don't have a problem in training others in culture. You know, it's generally because, you know, somehow or another they've observed it, and so they can see where it's missing. Like Bhakti Chomar, it always, you know, his classes before, you know, when it was the big thing to do seminars back in the 90s, he was always on Vaishnava etiquette. Always. And basically he'd generally take you know, some different points, either that were, you know, things that needed to be addressed, or he'd talk on, you know, Rupa Goswami's list, you know, of the 64 items. Like this, and so, like that. That was always what he was famous for discussing. Because he comes from a cultured background, so he knows the culture is important, and so then he would train people in it. So generally you'd see his devotees would always be very nice. I remember a few times his devotees would come from Calcutta to do a Vyas Puja for him. And, the arrangement, you know, the menu, the service, everything was always so nice. Because they themselves were very cultured and everything. So, you know, just like, you know, money generates money, so culture generates culture. You know, you put yogurt, you know, and then you put it in the neck, you get more yogurt like that.
We read this morning.
Oh, yes. Visesha yogat, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Same but different.
Yes. So it's just a matter of association and training. Because the point is much of the time, if they're taking up and they're serious about their sadhana, generally you see this lower, you know, what we say is, you know, this uncultured, generally they're very practical. And much of the time you can directly talk about things. In one sense, I found many times they're easier to talk to than those who fancy themselves sophisticated and educated. With them, you have to tiptoe around and this way and that way, and you can't say things, you know, that, no, this is the way it is. Well, those people, they're practical. They know if you don't do it this way, it doesn't work. You know, the machine's not working. You know, you can't pick up a small wrench and hit it. You have to pick up the biggest wrench there is and then hit it. Then it starts working. So they know this is, it works in a particular way. So generally you tell them this is what it is, they'll do it. They may get it wrong because they'll take it by, you know, by letter or very practical. I did it, you know, it's like a, what is it? What do you call it? It was a spoof. It was on, you know, this guy wasn't, you know, he took everything very literal, and he went into the bathroom, and when you know, and then he left. And when he went in there, then you saw the, you know, the thing for the towels, you know, after you wash your hands, you know, on, I don't know about this, but at least where, you know. So many places I came from, the paper ones. It was one paper. So it says, pull down, tear up. Mm-hmm. You know, so you pull it down. You don't pull it this way or that way. You go up, and then it rips. So pull down, tear up. So the guy came in, saw that, pulled the thing off the wall, and ripped it to, you know, like that, and then walked out. Yeah, so, you know, you might get that a bit for a while, but then you explain, no, it means this. And then, oh, okay, and then, you know, like that, and then, you get. That's how you get Magrari the hunter. Then he became so cultured and, you know, like this. It naturally happened. Devotional service, if nothing else, if pure devotional service is cultivated, it will happen anyway. But if you can also educate, it'll happen a little quicker. So, yeah. Because if we say, oh, but only low class, it's like, who's high class? In this world, if you're talking Malechas and Yavanas, what do you mean by high class? You can have richer or poorer.
Yes.
You know? And they may be more sophisticated, but it's not necessarily that they're more classy. You know? Sometimes they are, sometimes they're not. You have people from simple backgrounds, and that sometimes they're very religious and that, simple people, but very, very cultured. So it's very individual. But if they're sincere, it doesn't matter. But if they're low class and they're taking advantage, that's another thing. So,
yeah. I think there is also one point in this topic. It's meant to present pure devotional service or to present mixed devotional service.
No, you present pure.
Because if there is a presentation of pure devotional service, this is common to all souls.
Yes, yes.
But if there is presentation of mixed devotional service,
yes,
it means some people can relate,
and some people can't.
Don't relate.
Because there is conditioning that you have to follow rules.
Yes.
You know, there's all varieties of conditioning. See, you never present mixed devotional service. You present pure, and then you may get mixed.
Yes.
You know, like if you set the standard here, you'll get here. If you set but nobody can do this, we'll set the standard, then you get here.
Yes.
So it's just, you always set it here, and then help, and then become be happy when they get to here.
Yes.
You know, they're doing good.
Yes.
Yes.
Once Burjan Prabhu made a comment, he said, you don't have to preach Krishna West, it will happen automatically.
Yeah, it just happens anyway. You know, but the problem is then they think that they're fine, and that it's the same as pure devotional service. That's the weakness. But if you preach pure, you're always going to have people who are just going to live whatever lifestyle, and who cares if they're sincere? It doesn't matter. Like that. Yeah, you don't have to preach that. You know, just like you don't have to preach sahajya. It just happens anyway. You know. Did anyone preach and now you have so many people living over there? No. They just were there and they just, yeah. The word dana, meaning charity, is also significant in this verse. Whoever engages in the distribution of Krishna consciousness is a charitable person. Professional men recite Srimad Bhagavatam and discuss Krishna Katha in an exchange of money. They cannot distribute such exalted transcendental property to everyone and anyone. Only pure devotees who have no motive other than serving Krishna can give such transcendentally valuable benedictions out of charity. Right, so that the point is pure devotion. That's the point. Now, one may not be very realized, and so, you know, you're going to have your, you may be a third class, pure devotee, or second class, or first class. But the point is it doesn't matter. Pure devotee is the platform from which the potency is there. So,
you remember back cover of Back to Godhead, there's a promotion for making life movies. So there was, you know, how much you're going to pay. And then there was also give your time, give your assets, and give your energy, not to engage in Krishna's service.
Yeah, not true. Yeah. Okay, only pure devotees who have no motive other than serving Krishna can give such transcendentally valuable benedictions out of charity. Mm-hmm. Right? So then they give, it has effect. So because purity is the force.
Mm-hmm.
Right? 2:15:42. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ordered Nityananda Prabhu, go to Bengal and, without restriction, manifest devotional service to the Lord, Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu thus ordered Nityananda Prabhu to deliver all the Bengalis to devotional service. In the Bhagavad Gita 9:32, the Lord says, Mamhi Partha Vipasaritya Yepi Syu Papa Yonayaha Sriyo Vaishas Tatashudras Tepi Yanti Paramgatim. O son of Prita, those who take shelter in me, though they be of lower birth, women, Vaishas, merchants, and Shudras, workers, can attain the supreme destination. So when you said before of lower class, you were mentioning, you were giving a prequel to this verse coming up, and the, you know how sometimes it's that, you know, we'll be discussing, well, what about this, and it's the next verse, and so.
Actually, if we think about it, those who are tuned into discussion, they can think like that, and then because the thought develops in a certain pattern.
Yes.
Like
yes.
Panchanganyaya, you know, yes. What's coming next.
Yes. Yeah, it's just natural. Yeah. So whoever takes to Krishna consciousness follows the regulative principles can return home back to Godhead. So the point being here is that they have the association of pure devotees. They are following the regulative principles of devotional service. Then they can all develop and go back to Godhead. So even if in this lifetime they don't become the most cultured person, it doesn't matter. If they remember Krishna, they go back to Godhead. You know, it's much easier to work out the culture when you have no conditioning. You know, when you're on the Brahma-Bhuta platform. So very quickly they'll work it out. But if they work it out here, then that's very nice. In his Anubhasya, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur writes, there's a class of so-called devotees called Prakriti Sahajiyas who think that Nityananda Prabhu is an ordinary human being. They have spread the news that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ordered Nityananda Prabhu to return to Bengal from Orissa just to marry and beget children. This is certainly a great offense against Nityananda Prabhu. Yeah. So this thing of finding fault and all that, that just is always going on. So here, even the Lord, they'll find fault in. Such an offense is called Pashandi Buddhi, or an atheistic remark. Offenders consider Nityananda Prabhu to be like one of them, an ordinary human being. They do not know of Nityananda Prabhu's identity with the Vishnu Tattva. Thinking Nityananda Prabhu to be an ordinary human being is the business of mental speculators known as Kuna Patma Vadis. These people accept the material body, which is a bag of three material elements, kunape, tri, datuke, as themselves. They think that Nityananda Prabhu's body was similarly material, that it was meant for sense gratification. Whoever thinks in this way is a candidate for the darkest regions of hell. Those who hanker after women and money, who are self-interested and have the mentality of merchants, can certainly discover many things with their fertile brains and speak against the authorized revealed scriptures. They also engage in some money-making business to cheat innocent people, and they try to support their business programs in making such offensive statements. Actually, Nityananda Prabhu, being the expansion of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is the most munificent incarnation. No one should consider him an ordinary human being or an entity like the Prajapatis, who were ordered by Brahma to increase generations. Nityananda Prabhu should not be considered instrumental for sense gratification. Although professional so-called preachers support this idea, such statements are not found in any authorized revealed scriptures. Actually, there is no support for these statements made by Sahajiyas or other professional distributors of Krishna Bhakti. Like that. Because they have their own agenda, and so then they'll say that he's like this. And the point is there's enough people, especially in Bengal. It's like, in Bengal, do you need more people? No, there's plenty. Like that. They're quite competent. You know, like that.
But this feels over Vrindavan and Radhika.
Yeah, of course. Of course. It'll go, because, I mean, I don't know about now, but before, Vrindavan was 60% Bengali. Like that. I don't know if it still is.
Still like that.
Okay.
At least half of the people speak Bengali.
Yeah, before it was like you'd go anywhere, speak to anyone in Bengali, it would work. Because also Bengali and Brajbhasa are close, so even if they were locals and weren't Bengali, they could understand on that. But if they were Hindi speakers, then they don't know. Yeah, you get these things. You know, because it's connected, the two places are connected. But the Goswamis in Vrindavan, they come to Bengal, that's where all their disciples are, is over here. You know, there may be a few over that side, but the big happening is this side. And so then for them, then they can be Prajapatis. Nityananda Prabhu, did he preach this here? We preach, you know, we're Goswamis, especially the Nityananda Vamsa. Then, you know, like that. 2:15:43-67. Nityananda Prabhu was given assistance like Ramadasa, Garadhar Dasa, and several others. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I give them to you to assist you. I shall also go to see you at intervals. Keeping himself invisible, I shall watch you dance. Keeping myself invisible, I shall watch you dance. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then embraced Srivas Pandit and, with his arms about his neck, began to speak to him in sweet words. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu requested Srivas Thakur, perform congregational chanting daily, and be assured that I shall also dance in your presence. You will be able to see this dancing, but not others. So Nityananda Prabhu will be able to see when Lord Chaitanya comes to watch. And Srivas Thakur will be able to see when Lord Chaitanya comes. Take this prasadam of Lord Jagannath and this cloth and deliver them to my mother. My mother, Sachidevi, after offering her obeisances, please request her to excuse my offenses. I have given up the service of my mother and have accepted the sannyas order. Actually, I should not have done this, for by doing so, I have destroyed my religious principles. I am subordinate to the love of my mother, and it is my duty to serve her in return. Instead of doing so, I have accepted the renounced order. Certainly, this is the act of a madman.
Can this be a reflection of the mood of Krishna towards Mother Yashoda?
The point is it is Krishna and Mother Yashoda.
Yeah.
So you don't need it to be a reflection. But he's saying this, because in this pastime as Brahmins, these are the things they do. Like that. So that's just the Leela. So you have in the Navadvipa Leela, he'll be there. But in the Puri Leela, then he'll be the sannyas aspect. You know, so you're going to have these flavors that are there. But in Vrindavan, then they're together. You know, in the Prakat, then he goes and then comes back. But in the Aprakat, then he never leaves. Yeah. Even if they go to Mathura, they pay the tax and actually come back. Yeah. You know, like it was explained by the Acharyas. Then when they came, they all came to Mathura. And having come to Mathura and then all the festivities that went on there, then after paying the tax and everything and all that, then when they went back, in the Aprakat Leela, Krishna went back. But in the Prakat Leela, then he stayed. So you're going to get all these so many far out things. Yeah. But it's just, you know, he's saying, and you know, he's teaching that, you know, what the value and all that. But at the same time, you see is that the aspect of the sannyas, then that's an important aspect. But otherwise, everybody should be dealing in this way. So even as a sannyasi, he still deals very nicely in this way.
Vrindavan.
A mother is not offended by her mad son. And knowing this, my mother is not offended by me. I had no business in accepting the renounced order and sacrificing my love for my mother, which is my real property. Actually, I was in a crazy state of mind when I accepted sannyas. I suffer preaching and all that. That's what he did. But as far as the pastimes, then he just stays there. Is that, you know, so... In the apricot Navadvip Leela, then he'll be here in Mayapur with Mother Sachi.
Because the sequence of events is Vishwa leaves, Jagannath Mishra passes away, and then Nimai, you know, is like, okay, just to reassure you, I'm going to get married so you know I'm not going. Right?
Yeah.
Then first wife dies, then second wife comes, and he promises her, I'm not leaving, I'm going to stay. Mm-hmm. And then he just...
Yeah, but at the same time, he is always there.
Yeah.
It mentions whenever she makes an offering, Lord Chaitanya personally eats it. She always thought, weren't you talking about this? That she was thinking she was, you know, maybe crazy, you know, delusionary, but, you know, the food goes, you know, disappears. Because, you know, Lord Chaitanya personally comes, sits down, and eats.
Because she cooks what he likes.
Yeah. I am staying here at Jagannath Puri Neelachal to comply with her orders, because he asked her, where can I stay? So she said, Puri. But at intervals, I go see her lotus feet. Indeed, I go there daily to see her lotus feet. She is able to feel my presence, although she does not believe it to be true. One day, my mother, Sachi, offered food to Shaligram Vishnu. She offered rice cooked from shalipatis. Various kinds of vegetables, spinach, curry made of banana flowers, fried patal with neem leaves. So they do a neem patal. I thought it was something only we would do. Wow. Okay, it's authorized. Pieces of ginger with lemon, and also yogurt, milk, sugar candy, and many other foods. Taking the food upon her lap, mother was crying to think that all the food was very dear to her Nimai. My mother was thinking, Nimai is not here. Who will accept all this food? As she meditated upon me in this way, her eyes filled with tears. While she was thus thinking and crying, I immediately went there with great haste and ate everything. Seeing the dish empty, she wiped her tears away. She then began to wonder who had eaten all that food. Why is the plate empty? She wondered, doubting that Balagopal had eaten it all. She began to wonder whether there had actually been anything on the plate in the first place. Then again, she thought that some animal might have come in and eaten everything. She thought, perhaps by mistake, I did not put any food on the table. So thinking, she went into the kitchen and saw the pots. When she saw that all the pots were still filled with rice and vegetables, there was some doubt in her mind, and she was astonished. Thus wondering, she called Ishan, the servant, and had the place cleansed again. She then offered another plate to Gopal. Now, whenever she prepares some good cooked food and wants to feed it to me, she cries in great anxiety. Being obliged by her love, I am brought there to eat. Mother knows all these things internally and feels happiness, but externally she does not accept them. Such an incident took place on the last Vijayadashami day. You can ask her about this incident and thus make her believe that I actually go there. While describing all this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became a little overwhelmed. But just to finish bidding farewell to the devotees, he remained patient. 2:15:68-83. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu next spoke to some relishable words to Raghava Pandit. He said, I am obliged to you due to your pure love for me. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then informed everyone, just hear about the pure devotional service rendered to Krishna by Raghava Pandit. Indeed, Raghava Pandit's service is supremely pure and highly accomplished. apart from other commodities. Just hear about his offering of coconuts. A coconut is sold at the rate of 5 gandhis each. Although he already has hundreds of trees and millions of fruits, he is still very eager to hear about the place where sweet coconuts are available. He collects coconuts with great endeavor from a place 20 miles away, and he pays 4 panas for each of them, so it must be more price or something. Every day, 5 to 7 coconuts are clipped and put into water to keep cool. Because put them into the... many times they would take them and they come on a bunch, and you tie a rope on that and just toss them in the pukur. Mm-hmm. You know, because the water down is very, very cool. So in summertime when it's hot, they put the dobs down there, and then, you know, when it's the time, then they pull them out, and then they... But otherwise, then you could just take them, cut them nicely, put them in the water and everything, and then they'll get cool. Because, you know, water left in a bucket will get cold. It's just that by nature. Especially if you put it in a clay pot. You know? I know. After holes are made in them at the top, they are offered to Lord Krishna. Lord Krishna drinks the juice from these coconuts, and sometimes the coconuts are left drained of juice. At other times, the coconuts remain filled with juice. When Raghava Pandit sees that the juice has been drunk from the coconuts, he is very pleased. He then breaks the coconuts, takes out the pulp, and puts it on another plate. After offering the pulp, he meditates outside the temple door. So he goes in, gives the dog coconut, and then if the juice is gone, then he'll take it outside, cut it, you know, take out that, put that on another plate, take that back in for the Lord, and then offer that. Sometimes after eating the pulp, Krishna fills the plate again with new pulp. In this way, the faith of Raghava Pandit increases, and he floats in an ocean of love. One day it so happened that about 10 coconuts were properly clipped and brought by a servant to offer to the deity. When the coconuts were brought, there was little time to offer them because it was already late. The servant, holding the container of coconuts, remained standing at the door. Raghava Pandit then saw that the servant touched the ceiling above the door and then touched the coconuts with the same hand. So he's waiting at the door because you have the thing on your head, you know, and you just, you know, sometimes they do that to just hold, you know, stand there nicely and then maybe, you know, use that hand on the coconuts. Raghava Pandit then said, "People are always coming and going through that door. The dust from their feet blows up and touches the ceiling. After touching the ceiling above the door, you have touched the coconuts. Now they are no longer fit to be offered to Krishna because they are contaminated." Srila Prabhupada. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur states that Raghava Pandit was not simply a crazy fellow suffering from some cleansing phobia. He did not belong to the mundane world. In lower consciousness, accepting something to be spiritual when it is actually material is called Bhauma Ijadhi. Raghava Pandit was an eternal servant of Krishna, and everything he saw was related to the service of the Lord. He was always absorbed in the transcendental thought of how he could always serve Krishna with everything. Sometimes neophytes, devotees on the lower platform, try to imitate Raghava Pandit on the platform of material purity and impurity. Such imitation will not help anyone. As explained in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Antya Lila 4.174, Badra Badra Vastu Jnana Nahika Prakrite. On the transcendental platform, there is no higher or lower, pure or impure. On the material platform, distinction is made between good and bad. But on the spiritual platform, everything is of the same quality, because it's all for Krishna. Dvaite Bhadra Bhadra Jnana Shabha Mano Dharma A Bala, A Manda, A Shabha Brahma. In the material world, conceptions of good and bad are all mental speculations. Therefore, saying this is good and that is bad is all a mistake. Mm-hmm. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Antya Lila 4.176. Right? So, the only way something's good or bad is if it's useful in Krishna's service, that's good. If it's not useful, that's bad. But otherwise, on the material platform, saying this is good and that's bad, that's like let's say you have the you know, those huge metal containers with those lids that go down. And so that you open one of those up, and then you say inside, okay, well, this is good, that's bad, this... That's the material world. So good and bad, not seen in the context of how it serves Krishna, then that's all, that's a mistake. It's all an illusion.
But, for example, practical thing for relation to the deities, like flowers and bogas. If you buy flowers for the deities, they look absolutely stunning. They don't smell. Or you buy boga that looks absolutely perfect, but it's not ripe. There's no, hasn't grown with sunshine and heat. You know, like strawberries in China come out in January, during the winter. They're huge like this, they're dark red. Cut them in half and they're white. You know, no sugar, no taste. But, you know, people think, these are great for Krishna. So you can say, you can take anything material, offer it to Krishna with devotion, but the devotion is really to look for the quality.
Yeah, but I'm saying if that's all there is, that's what you offer. If you have an alternative, that you have flowers that smell and fruits that have taste, then you get those. You know, but at the same time, you do have the thing of offering what you feel, you know, locally you would say is something special and all that. So for them, that's something very special. Then their mood will be very nice, very inspired that I'm offering something very nice to the Lord. You know, so you just have to see what it is. If that's all there is, that's what you offer. You know, so amongst those, you get the best one. You know, the biggest one, the reddest one, you know. But, you know, what to do? You know, what I'm saying is it's all in the context of what you can do to serve Krishna.
Because in China, they're so expert in this. Imitating everything. I mean, the flowers from heaven.
Right.
No fragrance.
Yeah, so you might buy some perfume. Yeah. You know, it's like you make a jasmine garland and spray jasmine perfume on it. You know? You do have a thing where sometimes I've seen it. I haven't seen it recently, but I remember back in the 70s, maybe 80s, the people who used to have these, something like, have like a flower, you know, made out of gold.
Yeah, bro.
And then they would put a drop of scent in there that they offered during arti because there's no flowers available. And they would do that. I've seen that. So it means you can put some fragrance. If there's nothing there, you can put some fragrance. And with the strawberries, probably put lots of sugar.
Yeah, that's what I do. Sugar and lemon.
And yeah, then you add something. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So you're not imitating. You can't imitate Raghava Pandit. Point is he's sincerely seeing how it's nice for Krishna or not, rather than it's just a rule. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, such is the service of Raghava Pandit. He did not accept the coconuts, but threw them over the wall. His service is purely based on unalloyed love, and it conquers the whole world. Thereafter, Raghava Pandit had other coconuts gathered, cleansed, and clipped. And with great attention, he offered them to the deity to eat. In this way, from distant villages, he collects excellent bananas, mangoes, oranges, jackfruits, and whatever other first-class fruits he has heard about. Right? So it may be that, you know, you have to get your fruits from another city or out in the village. So, yeah, whatever is available. You know, it's just like if you know, okay, there's this market here, it's closed, but that market over there has better stuff, you might go there for, you know, things for the deities.
Yeah, I mean, you're getting corporate stuff, but you're going to pay money.
Yeah, but you know, so you do what you can. If you have the money, you, like Raghava Pandit, he makes the arrangement. And if you don't, you do what the best you can. All these fruits are collected from distant places and brought and bought at a high price. After trimming them with great care and purity, Raghava Pandit offers them to the deity. Thus, with great care and attention, Raghava Pandit prepares spinach, other vegetables, radishes, fruits, chipped rice, powdered rice, and sweetmeats. He prepares cakes, sweet rice, condensed milk, and everything else with great attention. And the cooking conditions are purified so that the food is first class and delicious. Yeah, so good ingredients, you know, pure place. Pure consciousness, so all this is, you know, being done to please Krishna, then it comes out very nice. Raghava Pandit also offers all kinds of pickles, such as Kashamdi. That's the old because you have the Sarubhasha, and then you have what people say nowadays.
Kashundi.
That's Kashundi. Yeah. So just how it, you know, it changes by the Prakrit changes, or might be that's in Sanskrit, and then it, as it comes down. He offers various scents, garments, ornaments, and the best of everything. Thus, Raghava Pandit serves the Lord in an incomparable way. Everyone is very much satisfied just to see him. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then mercifully embraced Raghava Pandit. The Lord also offered all the other devotees a farewell with similar respect. Lord also respectfully told Shivananda Sen, take care of Vasudev Dutta very nicely. Vasudev Dutta is very liberal. Every day, whatever income he receives, he spends. He does not keep any balance. Being a householder, Vasudev Dutta needs to save some money. Because he is not doing so, it is very difficult for him to maintain his family. Please take care of Vasudev Dutta's family affairs. Become his manager and make the proper adjustments. Come every year and bring all my devotees with you to the Gundicha festival. So it seems that Shivananda Sen is very, you know, good at making all these kind of arrangements and all that. I also request you to maintain all of them. The Lord then, with great respect, extended an invitation to all the inhabitants of Kulinagram, asking them to come every year and bring silken rope to carry Lord Jagannath during the Rath Yatra festival. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then said, Gunaraj Khan of Kulinagram compiled a book named Sri Krishna Vijaya, in which there is a sentence revealing the author's ecstatic love of Krishna. Srila Prabhupada, Sri Krishna Vijaya is a book of poems considered to be the first poetry book written in Bengal. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur states that this book was begun in the year 1395, Shakabda, AD 1473. After 7 years, it was completed in 1402, Shakabda. Right? So in 1480 AD. This book was written in plain language, and even half-educated Bengalis and women could read it very clearly. Even an ordinary man with little knowledge of the alphabet could read this book and understand it. Its language is not very ornamental, and sometimes the poetry is not very sweet to hear. Although according to the sonnet style, each line should contain 14 syllables, there are sometimes 16, 12, or 13 syllables in his verse. Many words used in those days could be understood only by local inhabitants. Yet this book is still so popular that no bookstore is complete without it. It is very valuable for those who are interested in advancing in Krishna consciousness. Book of poems. Sri Gunaraj Khan was one of the topmost Vaishnavas, and he translated the 10th and 11th cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam for the understanding of the common man. The book Sri Krishna Vijaya was highly praised by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and it is very valuable for all Vaishnavas. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gives a genealogical table and family history of Gunaraj Khan. When a Bengali emperor named Adi Sura first came from Kanyakubja, or Kanauj, he brought with him 5 Brahmins and 5 Kayasthas. Since the king is supposed to be accompanied by his associates, the Brahmins accompanied the king to keep him in higher spiritual matters. The Kayasthas were to render other services. In the northern Indian high country, the Kayasthas were accepted as Shudras, but in Bengal, the Kayasthas are considered among the higher castes. It is a fact that the Kayasthas came to Bengal from northern India, specifically from Kanyakubja or Kanauj. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that the Kayasthas who come from Kanyakubja were high-class men. Of them, Dasaratha Vasu was a great personality, and the 13th generation of his family included Gunaraj Khan. His real name was Maladhara Vasu, right? Because his Dasaratha Vasu was the, you know, the patriarch there. But the title Khan was given to him by the emperor of Bengal. Thus he became known as Gunaraj Khan. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gives the following genealogical table of Gunaraj Khan. 1. Dasarath Vasu, Kushala. 3. Shankara. 4. Hamsa. 5. Shakti Rama, Bhagadanda, Mukta Rama, Myna Gara, and Alankara, Bangaja. There may be areas where they lived or something. 6. Damodar. 7. Anantarama. 8. Guni Nayaka and Vina Nayaka. The 12th generation included Bhagiratha, and the 13th Maladhara Vasu, or Gunaraj Khan. Sri Gunaraj Khan had 14 sons, of whom the second son, Lakshminath Vasu, received the title Satyaraj Khan. His son was Sri Ramananda Vasu. Therefore, Ramananda Vasu belonged to the 15th generation. Gunaraj Khan was a very well-known and wealthy man. His palace, fort, and temples are still existing. And from these, we can deduce that the opulence of Gunaraj Khan was certainly very great. Sri Gunaraj Khan never cared for the artificial aristocracy introduced by Balal Sena.
Maharaj, isn't it Khan some sort of word to be?
It's a Muslim title. And so they would award it to people, you know, that, you know, did some particular service or some status, just like Malik.
Yeah.
That's also there. So then you're going to have both that term Khan and Malik are both there. Because otherwise, you know, you go up north, like to, what do you call it, Kazakhstan and those places, everyone's Khan.
Yeah.
Genghis Khan, you know.
Yeah.
That was...
It's coming from him.
It's coming down from that side. And it seems that he had like about, 2 million or something. You know, the DNA, they can trace 2 million people back to him. It means him, himself. Yes. So the title is there. And that was given by the emperor of Bengal. So Bengal had its own emperor that was different from the Delhi emperor. And they just whoever it was, I think, was he said Adi Sura. He came down with maybe like 20 people, took over Navadvip. That was it. He was the emperor of Bengal. It was basically that simple. It was some weirdo story like that. You know, so then you had the Nawab, then he was in that line.
And Lakshman Sen?
That I'm not sure what was his position. You know anything about Lakshman Sen? There was Balal Sen. That's the one he said, Balal Sen. Because he might have set up something that would have been, you know, the Hindu thing or something like that. Or who knows? there's all far out. You know, there are devotees who get into it and check all these histories.
Yeah.
You just have to be very, very careful. It's that the history, as said by the acharyas, you have to take that as the basis, and then you can fill out details that you know support and match that. But if you come up against that, oh, but the historians say this and the acharyas say that, if you're smart, you take the acharyas. Because otherwise, the problem with historians is then they have the, you know, imperfect senses, make mistakes, illusioned, and cheating. So then you'll end up with all kinds of things. So sometimes you get like that. The mundane scholars and all that, they may at the time that wrote things, they didn't like the Gaudiyas. So they'll say all kinds of stuff. You know, so it happens. So one has to be very careful, yes.
Also, Brits, when they came here, conquered India, then they wrote everything to appear very early, because everything according to their history in India happened after, you know, Jesus Christ, basically.
Yes.
So they date appearance of Adi Shankara the 7th century.
Mm.
But if you check the Joshimath, you know, it's a small town on the way to Badrinath.
Yes, yes.
They have their parampara.
The one under the bridge, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
When there's always traffic, when you stay like for hours sometimes.
Yeah.
So they say that Adi Shankara came right after Buddha, like within maximum 200 years.
Okay. Goes
so,
way back.
Yeah, like 2,500 years back.
Mm.
But then the British, they made everything to destroy the very culture.
Right, right.
Say everything is like new, it's nothing interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's really tricky how they write.
Yeah, no, that's just like, you know, you also have that element of history is written by the victors.
Yeah, but then rewritten then after them even.
Yeah.
They rewrite it again.
Yeah, yeah.
For their own purpose.
Yeah, I mean that's one of the popular themes in 1984. The constant rewriting of history for, you know, the political outlook that you want.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like that, it's always adjusting. Yes.
So Balal said he's the one who made classifications among the Brahmins and the Kshatriyas.
Ah, okay.
So then Punaratka didn't care about.
He didn't care.
And then Lakshman Sen is the son of Balal Sen.
Okay. And where was he situated?
In the Bengal region. I think this is the Balal Digi.
Oh, Balal Digi is his place. Okay. So that's, yeah, just up here. Yeah, the old palace is all there and stuff.
I think a couple of years ago they did some new archaeological finding.
Okay.
They discovered a whole entire property of Lakshman Sen digging.
Yeah, there's a huge thing up there. People, you can go and there's all kinds of stuff up there.
But I'll say it's from 1160 to 1179 AD.
Okay.
After, if he's the
1178 to 1206.
Okay. Yeah, so they set it up so he didn't seem to worry about it. You know, so in some places, you know, Kais is a higher grade, some places are lower. This and that. So it seems Bengal they were higher. Other places they were lower. Because a Kshatriya means somebody from Brahma, Kshatriya, Vaishya family who does Shudra work. But it specifically means they're bureaucrats. They do office work. And so they can do the things that all this paperwork that requires brain. And so Kshatriyas do that. They're really good at that. So that's the position. So their background is they'll have the brains like someone higher, but they're doing a lower work. So then, depending upon how it is, so like in Bengal, they know the background, so therefore they consider it a higher position. Other places look at, oh, you're doing Shudra work, so the lower. You know, what is it we were discussing before? In one place, it's either you're a Brahmin or you're a Shudra.
It's Brahmin on the right.
Yeah, it's just... Yeah, it's just that they're the Brahmins and then everybody else. Even if you're a Kshatriya, you're Shudra. It's just everybody's just low class. So it depends on the area. So Gunaraj Khan didn't care about that stuff. No?
He was a Brahmin.
No, they were Kayasthas. But they were coming from an aristocratic background. But it's just something happens that you're Brahmin and you end up doing some office work for somebody, you know, doing their accounts or things like that. You know, so nowadays, you know, you have all the Brahmins going in for, in South, a lot for, you know, how is it? What do you call it? CA? Chartered accountancy and all that. That's technically a Kayastha job. The Brahmin does someone's accounts, that's generally that's a Kayastha.
IT is not a Kayastha.
Sorry?
IT work.
Of course.
Official shudra.
Yeah.
Official?
Official shudra. So that's the thing, is that they, and so then that's the point. So in Bengal, they'll look at it more from the background, what it's from. You know, in other places, they'll just look at the work. So like that. So you have all these things. So we just, you know, what's your ability? That's what you do. And you serve Krishna and go back to Godhead and Hari Bol. Who cares?
Maybe that's why there's so many bureaucrats in Bengal.
Oh, yeah. They're professional at bureaucrats. I mean, there's bureaucrats and there's professional bureaucrats. You know, I mean, have you ever seen is that you have these guys with cards, and they can, you know how you deal cards? Mm-hmm. But there's guys that can deal the card and never take the top card, or you know whatever card they can do that kind of stuff. So the professionals here. There's a stack of papers to get done, and they can somehow or another do it in such a way that your paper never moves. You know, instead of coming up to the top, it moves towards the bottom. It's you know, it's mystical, like that. Then when you come with some Mahaprasad, somehow, oh, yes, like that, you know, like that. There's your paper. Yes. South, they just do the work. There's somehow or another. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj, is my life and soul. By this statement, I am sold into the hands of the descendants of Gunaraj Khan. Srila Prabhupada, the full verse reference to here is Eka Bhave Vandahari Jora Kari Hata Nanda Nandana Krishna Mora Prana Natha. With folded hands I offer my prayers unto Krishna, Nanda Maharaj's son, who is my life and soul. 2:15, 101 to 106. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, to say nothing of you, even a dog living in your village is very dear to me. What then to speak of others? This is Kalinagram, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, first time we went to Kalinagram with the bus, Jaipataka Marsh. Then we parked in one place, and there was a dog there. One of the devotees, you know, one of the book distributors got out of the bus and went over and hugged the dog. He said, what are you doing? He says, no, but it says even a dog in Kalinagram is dear to Lord Chaitanya. So.
How far is it from here?
That I don't remember. That was 76. That thing's very far in Bengal. You know, it's not that big. But, yeah, it'd be some hours, but I don't think it's... It's not like North Bengal, but it's not that far. But yeah.
On the way to Vardhaman from here.
Vardhaman is above.
2 hours from here.
2 hours. Yeah, 2 hours. I mean, then it may have been a little more. Now I think the roads are a little more decent. Like before going to Ekachakra, that was a day going. It was 10 hours.
Now it's five.
But you know, but it was like it's the whole day. You left in the morning, you might get there for the evening dark.
Rickshaw? By car?
No, yeah, by car.
Fastest road is not.
I mean, there are times when Calcutta to Mayapur can take 5 hours.
That's almost every day.
Yeah, so you can imagine that just all the way to to there, to Vardhaman.
When I first came from airport to Calcutta temple, used to take 2 hours.
Yeah?
Now it's half an hour.
You know, traffic before was ridiculous. It's slowly better.
It's like there is only one small road and anybody can stop anywhere. There's no rule like where the buses have to stop. That's the reason traffic is so slow.
No, but the buses always stop in the same place.
The
middle of the road. It's just like, you know, it's like they drive in the middle, they stop in the middle. They're very consistent. You know?
They own the road.
They own the road. They only move forward. They don't go backwards.
Usually you know, like, they have those long buses, and they always, you know, especially in the rush hour, when one comes to, there are so many stops like right. on the road, and then one comes, and then another comes like this. That's it. They always do like that, and it's Israel.
And then
it's
they get stuck.
Yeah. Unless those get out, get in, you know, and then they go, and then the next one goes.
That's their fun. They have to do that work for you.
Yeah.
How does it matter?
And here, buses are short. Here, they're very cool.
Yeah. Yeah, no. It's Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, to say nothing of you, even a dog living in your village is very dear to me. What then to speak of others? After this, Ramananda Basu and Satyaraj Khan both submitted questions at the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Satyaraj Khan said, my dear Lord, being a householder and a materialistic man, I do not know the process of advancing in spiritual life. I therefore submit myself unto your lotus feet and request you to give me orders. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, without cessation, continue chanting the holy name of Lord Krishna. Whenever possible, serve him and his devotees, the Vaishnavas. Upon hearing this, Satyaraj Khan said, how can I recognize a Vaishnava? Please let me know what a Vaishnava is. What are his common symptoms? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, whoever chants the holy name of Krishna just once is worshipable and is the topmost human being. Srila Prabhupada. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that a person who simply chants the holy name of Krishna once becomes perfect and should be regarded as a Vaishnava. Oh, that was the second hand. I looked up and said, oh, we have 20 minutes. But that was the second hand. Okay. This is confirmed by Srila Rupa Goswami in his Upadeshamrita 5. Krishnaiti yasya giritam manasadriyeta. With such faith in the holy name, one can begin a life of Krishna consciousness. But an ordinary person cannot chant the holy name of Krishna with such faith. One should accept the holy name of Krishna to be identical with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, transcendence himself. As the Padma Purana states, the holy name of Krishna is identical with Krishna and is like a Chintamani gem, a touchstone. That name is Krishna personified in sound, and is therefore perfectly transcendental and eternally liberated from material contamination. Thus, one should understand that the name of Krishna and Krishna himself are identical. Having such faith, one must continue to chant the holy name. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki. Yeah.